Hey, well, it's great to be with you here tonight. I'm just being a substitute tonight. I'm a little bit younger than Sam, and maybe a little less weight. Maybe he wouldn't say that, but I can say that because he's not here this evening. If you could turn your Bibles with me to the book of Jonah. Probably been 20 years since I've been here. I remember coming to the Blaisdell conferences, the young people's conference, and going to Camp Lila Lai in the summers and so on. So it was great to meet up with Uncle Dave and to be with you here this evening. Really enjoyed the time with Uncle Dave. We sat around a meal. And we chatted about different things, and it was a real encouragement to me to meet up with him again. Jonah chapter 1. In verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord," and I like that little statement there in verse 4, "but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken." And then if you could turn down to, I guess, verse 10. "Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempest. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." And then down to verse 17. Actually, verse 16. "And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days. And 3 nights." I was talking to a man just today, and he asked me what I was going to speak on tonight. And I said, well, I was thinking about the topic of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. And he said this to me. He said, "What do you think of Jonah? Do you think Jonah was a good man, or what's your thoughts on him?" And I said, well, Jonah had lots of ability, but there's one thing that Jonah missed. And you know, the Lord is just speaking about this to me, because in little ways we can be just like Jonah. You know, sometimes maybe we're hard on Jonah, but I know my own heart. And sometimes I can just be like Jonah. Jonah had lots of ability, but he wasn't obedient. And you know, the Lord's not looking for great ability, but the Lord is looking for obedience. I think of a young lady. She was a young lady. She was a missionary to China. Her name's Gladys Aylward. Some of you might know who she is. But she didn't have great ability. But she was obedient. And God called her to China. And when God was burdening her heart, she went to her brother. And she went to her friends and she said, "Why don't you go to China?" But God was burdening her heart. And finally she realized, "I'm to go to China." And she went to China obeying the Lord and the difficulties she went through. But the Lord was faithful all the way through. You see, God's not looking for great ability, but he is looking for obedience. And Jonah had great ability, but he just wasn't obedient. And I think this is what his downfall is through this book of Jonah. Some things that we can learn. Was Jonah a coward? He wasn't. Jonah had great boldness. He said to them when he was in the ship, "Just throw me over, and the sea will subside." He wasn't a coward. Why wouldn't he go to the Ninevites? Why wouldn't he cry out then to the Ninevites as God asked him to? Well, for this reason. Because the Ninevites, the Assyrians, were the Jewish people's archenemy. You see, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And Jonah was to go to them? These are our enemies. These are the ones who are against us. These are the ones that hate the true God of heaven. And who hate us. And God, you're calling me to go and to tell them this message from yourself? And Jonah says, no. You might not understand this. But in Ireland, you can have somewhat of an understanding. You've got the southern part of Ireland. You've got the northern part of Ireland. The northern part of Ireland is run by the English. The southern part, it's independent, and there's a great war there going against one another because the southern part, they want the northern part. And the northern part, there's some in the north that want to still have ties with the English. And so there's this fight that goes on. And one side predominantly is Protestant, and the other side predominantly is Catholic. And sad to say, some would come down with the gospel into the south and preach to various Catholics, but there is others. Just from the fighting and so on, that in their heart of hearts they would say, how can I go down and tell those people about the gospel? I think it's the same heart of Jonah here. Those Ninevites, they're enemies. How can I go down and tell them this message from God? And he turns and he goes the other way. And he flees. If you look in verse 3, he flees down to Tarshish. And I just see here the heart of God in chapter 1. And I look at Jonah's heart. And God's heart is this. He has a love for his enemies. He has a love for the lost. And you just look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came from heaven. He was on a throne. All the angels worshipped him. He is the center of heaven. And this puny little earth, man is in rebellion to him. And he so loved you and me that he came down into this world. And the only way that you and I could be with him was for him to go to the cross and to die for you and for me and to rise again. The heart of God is a God of love, and he desires none to perish, but he desires all to come to repentance. And I think of the God of heaven and what extent he will go to see individuals saved. I think of a lady who dropped her Bible in a subway. She was at a conference, and she dropped her Bible. And while she went back to the conference, and her mother gave out to her, "Where's your Bible?" "Oh, I left it in the subway." Well, that same Bible a man picked up, and he started to read it. And he ended up getting saved. And he took that Bible, and a year later he sent it back. The address was in the front page of the Bible, and he sent it back to this young girl. And he wrote a little note. He said, "I've read the whole Bible, and I've come to know the God of the Bible. I've come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." But the extent that God would go to for that man to hear the gospel. I think of a man in Africa. And there in his heart cry was this. He was actually being reared to be the next witch doctor in many tribes around. But his heart cry was this. "I don't want to be an evil witch doctor. I want to be a good witch doctor." And God heard the tones of this man's heart. And he sent a missionary. And he sent a man to tell him the gospel and to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that man was saved. And it wasn't until years later, after much hardship, finally his wife and his friends. And there's a great revival in the middle. It was a Brazilian jungle. And many were saved. The extent that God would go to for people to hear the word of God. And here Jonah says, no, I don't want to. And God works the circumstances out. And you come into chapter 3. In chapter 1, he's saying no. In chapter 3, he's saying yes. And he goes to that city. And a great revival takes place. And they repent. They turn from their evil way. And they turn to the true God of heaven. The extent that God will go to for individuals to trust Him as Savior. I see the heart of God here. He loves. He desires none to perish. But I look at Jonah here. And you know, we're not called to Nineveh. But we're called to the towns and villages around us. And the call is this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And it's not Nineveh. But it's Blaisdell. And it's other places. And you know, the Lord just speaking to me here in my own heart. Sometimes I'm like Jonah. Lord, not today. Maybe tomorrow. Or maybe the next day, or excuses after excuses. But the same call goes out. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the Lord, you look at the contrast of hearts here. You've got God in his heart of love to see people saved. And you've got Jonah who's in rebellion. Not today. And you know, God's desire, and God's desire for me is that we would have his heart. He's the greatest soul winner, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think John chapter 4. And there he says, I must needs go through Samaria. Why? Well, the Jews normally, they would go around Samaria. Because the Jews and the Samaritans, well, they were enemies. If a Jew was to go through Samaria, there was potential to get hurt or have some type of conflict. And so the Jews would go all the way around Samaria. That's the way they would travel. But the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he say? I must go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a woman by the well who he could see who needed life. Who was feeling the burden of her sin, who was troubled. And he comes and he sits beside her. And he says, I'm life. And I can give you life. And that woman goes away from that well a different lady. She goes away rejoicing. She's found a Savior. She's saved. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest soul winner, he says, I must go through Samaria. Because he saw that woman. You see, the God of heaven, he longs for individuals to trust in the Savior. And oh, that we might align our hearts with him. And oftentimes, I know my heart is like Jonah. When it should be Christ-like. When it should be like the Lord desiring to see and having a deep burden for the lost. You see here the heart of God and the heart of Jonah. There's consequences. Here Jonah here, he's disobedient. And you know, there's consequences to disobedience. I mean, each of us have our little things in our lives, and I have mine, and you can look back. You could say there's consequences. And you can go right through Scripture. You can go to Abraham. He was called to Canaan. And while there's a famine in the land, and Abraham said, well, it's pretty tough here. Maybe I'll go down to Egypt. It's better there. But God never called him to Canaan. God called him. But God called him to Canaan, not Egypt. And he goes down into Egypt, and Abraham, while he was in Canaan, he had an altar, worship. He had a tent, the pilgrim life. But when he goes down into Egypt with a picture of the world, there's no altar, and there's no tent. And there's heartache after heartache after heartache until he comes to the point, I've got to go back to Canaan. And the minute he goes back to Canaan, you see the altar and the tent again. God has picked him up just where he left off, but there were consequences for this reason. Because when he was down into Egypt, when he went down into Egypt, he brought Lot. And when he brought Lot, Lot saw Egypt. We know the story when Abraham and Lot, they had this great conflict. And Abraham said, you pick the land where you want to go. You know what Lot says? He starts to look towards Sodom. And he says, it's just like where? Just like Egypt. And here, Lot steps towards Sodom. Steps towards Sodom. But where did he get a taste for it? He got a taste for it when Abraham disobeyed and he went down to Egypt. And Lot saw what Egypt was like. See, there's consequences to our disobedience. And you can go through Scripture. You can go through to the book of Ruth, Elimelech. There was consequences there. He was in Bethlehem, Judah. That's where God wanted him. But because of a famine again, he goes down into Moab. Do you know it cost him everything? And here we look at Jonah. And the Lord is so merciful. The Lord is so long-suffering that though Jonah disobeys, I like what it says in verse 4. It says, but Jonah in verse 3. It says, but the Lord in verse 4. You see, the Lord steps in. And the Lord chastens those whom he loves. And I think of my little son. Chastening him. Sometimes it's a look. A stern look. Sometimes it's a word. But sometimes it's a little bit more that has to be administrated to my little son Nathan. But God does the same thing with us. And at times my own heart, I wander away. But the Lord just gives a little word. I think of one time just teaching on a certain subject. And ministering on a certain subject. And usually when you preach on something, it's not long after the Lord starts to touch me on it. And the week after, he started to touch me on it. And a certain situation came up. And exactly when I said a certain thing, it was like the Spirit of God saying, you can teach it, but can you live it out? And I felt just like Peter that day when the cock crowed. And the Lord sometimes, it's a little word to bring us back on track. But he does it because he loves us. And he does it to Jonah here because he loves him. And he brings this great wind and this tempest as he's gone off in the ship. And you know, even in this tempest, Jonah still doesn't turn to the Lord. They say, cry to your God. We're crying to our gods. Jonah, why don't you cry to your God? But Jonah's silent. And the Lord gives him opportunity as he brings this trial into Jonah's life to cry unto his God. But Jonah continues. And so the Lord brings a greater thing. They throw him over. And he brings a great fish. And it's not until you get down to chapter 2 that you see Jonah crying out. Oh, he didn't care before. He went down and slept in the bottom of the ship. He didn't care. The storm was coming up and the storm was bad and the ship was breaking apart. And the whole ship's in a frenzy. And there's Jonah. He doesn't care. He's down in the bottom of his boat, asleep. And so the Lord has to bring something else. And he puts them not in the bottom of a boat, but he puts them into the belly of a whale. And finally, he's broken. He's brought Jonah to the bottom. And Jonah finally cries out. And once he starts to cry out, this is when the Lord takes him. And you come to chapter 3, at the end of chapter 2, he's set out in the land. And God starts to use him again. And in chapter 3, he's called to go to the Ninevites. And God takes him up. And God uses him again. But you know, there's consequences. You look through Jonah here, and we're not an island. And Jonah here, these men around him, they're scared. They're going to lose their lives. Is it going to be all over for them? And it's because of the disobedience of Jonah. And you can look at other examples all through Scripture where you see this, with disobedience. We're not an island unto ourselves. But I look at this chapter and there's some great things that God does. And even in Noah or Jonah's disobedience here, God's still working. And he's working on the men in this ship. When you come to the end, they're crying out to their gods at first. But you come to the end of the chapter, and they cry out to the true God of heaven. You see, God's working. Even above Jonah's disobedience. You know, it's the same thing in the book of Ruth. There Elimelech, he goes down to Moab. But what a beautiful book, the book of Ruth. Because God brings this woman Ruth, even through this disobedience. God's still working, and what a tremendous thing. Ruth comes to Bethlehem, Judah. And Ruth marries Boaz. And what a tremendous story. God working above even my disobedience. Even Jonah's disobedience. Even Elimelech's disobedience. God is working above it all. You look through this chapter and everything is under the control of the God of heaven. The wind's under his control. The ocean is under his control. You can go through this whole book. The gourd. The worm. The great fish. All is under his control, obedient to him. But there's one thing that's not obedient to him. And that's Jonah. And I think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the wind and the sea were obedient to him. Peace be still. And you know, both those things were a miracle. Because when the wind ceases, the water continues to rage for another day. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the wind and the sea were obedient to him. And he says, peace be still. And there's peace. The demonic hosts, they were in control or obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even disease, all were obedient to him. Except man's heart. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. You know, all is under the control of the God of heaven, obedient to him. In this chapter, except for Jonah's heart. And so Jonah says, the answer is take me. Throw me overboard. They're crying out, what's the answer? How can this wind and sea stop? And he says, throw me overboard. As you know, Jonah thought, this is it. He didn't know God had prepared a great fish. He just thought, throw me overboard. My life is ended. But what the faithfulness and the love of the God of heaven. Because he is the God of the second chance. And these men throw him overboard. And what does it say? And God prepared a great fish and swallowed him up. And the God of the heavens is the God of the second chance. And I think of John Mark. He failed in his service to the Lord. But yet the Lord takes him up. And what does the Lord get him to write on? Mark's gospel. What is Mark's gospel about? It's all about the perfect servant. And though he failed in his service, God takes him up again to write of the perfect servant. I can think of Peter. And Peter failed the Lord. He denied the Lord, but yet he's come to the book of Acts. And he's greatly used of God. God has taken him up again. He's the God of the second chance. And Peter starts to preach in the book of Acts. And many are saved. And Peter is a leader amongst the disciples. And God is the God of the second chance. And you know, you look at Jonah here. And God has taken him, and he's given him a second chance. You know, aren't we thankful that the God of heaven, he is the God of the second chance. And he desires to use us to his glory and to his honor. I think of a friend of mine, and I was just speaking to him in Ireland, just before we came back Friday. And he said the Lord had called him to a certain area, and he served the Lord there, but certain things had happened, and he got discouraged, and he just wanted to throw in the towel for serving the Lord. And he came back to a certain area, he said about a year ago, and the Lord took him again and started to use him. And he said it was amazing how the Lord directed, how the Lord guided. He said, I was ready to throw the towel in and to step back from it all. But the Lord came along and he took me again. And he used me to his glory. And aren't we thankful here this evening that the God of heaven, he's the God of the second chance. Jonah thought, it's over. But God takes him. And he prepares a fish. And he swallowed up. He spit out under the ground again. And the word of the Lord again came to Jonah. And this time Jonah went. He is the God of the second chance. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks this evening that we can open the scriptures and that we can learn of this man, Jonah. Father, we give thanks that we can learn of the God of heaven. And Father, we just give thanks that the God of heaven is the God of the second chance. Father, we just give thanks that the God of heaven is a God of love, a merciful, gracious, compassionate God. And Father, we just give thanks in our little lives and, oh Father, that the little things in our lives and the directions in our lives, and Father, though we forget them and wander away, thou dost still love us wherever we stray. And we just give thanks for this. But though we stray far away, a thousand steps away, we give thanks to see that it's just one step back. Father, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give thanks that he is the great soul winner. He desires none to perish, but all to come to repentance. And he came from heaven. He came from the highest glory. And Father, we give thanks that he came down to this earth. And he went to Calvary's cross, and he died for us there. Oh, how he loves us. And we give thanks that he rose again. And he's in heaven. And Father, how he desires men and women and boys and girls to turn to him and be saved. Now, Father, we pray to give us a greater burden for the lost. Father, give me a greater burden for the lost. We just pray, Father, to speak to our hearts tonight. Through the little portion of Scripture. Father, we just give thanks in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.